In the beginning here, let's read a few verses here. This would be good for us, especially Brother Ray. All right, verse number 18. In the feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee in the time of month Abib. For in the month of Abib thou camest out from Egypt. Now, Abib is the first month of the Jewish calendar. It is also known as Nisan through the scriptures. There were two different names, and they meant two different things. Without getting into the weeds this morning, remember, it follows the lunar month. It is not a solar month. That's why their day began at 6 p.m. and ended at 6 p.m. the next day. Why God did that, I do not know, because the moon is a lesser light. But I do have some opinions. The moon is basically, especially in the New Testament, is a picture of the church, as she shines the light of Christ on a very dark world. And then we find out in Hebrews chapter 12, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's much like the stars of a nighttime. The stars of a nighttime can guide you. Stars of a nighttime can be light. There's been times we've been out and the moon is so bright. So this is important. This would be what we would consider the time of Easter, or the time of the resurrection. I believe God is so orderly. The Lord Jesus was born on the same day and he died on the same day. I truly believe that God's timing is always perfect, and it was at the time of the Passover. That's what this unleavened bread is. This unleavened bread is part of the feasts of Passover. And what is that? Well, that's deliverance, and we're going to see that here in a little bit. But remember, when you read these things, it's not just words. God is orderly. God is not confusing. There is structure. And a lot of times, Christians don't like the structure because it requires them to not be passive. You have to be active. If you are passive, you will sit on your hands. The gospel never gets out. Folks are not helped by the gospel or saved by the Lord Jesus. Yeah, a lot of it is on you and I. It really is. Not to save, but to get out the light, to give out the good news. Verse number 19, and all that openeth the matrix is mine. And every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. God called me to preach, and I was young. I've been in the church, as you know. We celebrated 50 years, the last Sunday of March. I've been around the church house because of the buses from Paris Bible Church coming by to pick us up. And I was telling Scott this morning, one of the main churches in Lansing, Michigan, Independent Baptist, that's a big icon amongst the Independent Baptist churches. I remember one of his leaders actually said to me, "Well, David, if you were baptized at a Bible church, then you need to go be baptized in a Baptist church. Your baptism isn't right." And I said, "If you give me chapter and verse, I'll do it." What it is, a lot of these people are what we call Baptist briders. And unless a Baptist preacher gave the gospel and led you to Christ, your salvation is no good. They believe that if you've not been baptized in a Baptist church, then your baptism is not true. If they want to get that stupid, anybody who's never been baptized in the Jordan River has never been truly baptized. You follow my thinking? If you really want to get that stupid, matter of fact, they go back and they say that the Independent Baptist Church is the true church because it was the one started by the Lord Jesus. And I will tell you this, what the Lord Jesus taught the disciples on the hillside, when did the church begin? When Jesus Christ called his men together and began to teach and preach to them. That's when the church's its beginnings are. Then it was kind of birthed out of all that on the day of Pentecost. You cannot point to a certain date, but I can point to a certain time that the church, if you want to use the terminology, birthed into this world, because that's what happened. Now, the church is, you see, picture the church in the Old Testament, and the reason why you have to be cautious and say it that way is there are some that believe that the church is a substitute for Israel. God's not done with Israel. A lot of what's going on from our country helping the Jews and what President Trump has stepped up, it's not just because his son-in-law is Jewish and his daughter, you know, it's not. What it is Americans have always taken care of God's people. England used to, but England don't care anymore. They haven't cared for 50 to 100 years. Yes, they had a hand in the 1948 in the rebirth of what they call the rebirth of Israel. But that was all God's hand, because God's not done with them. So understand, there's an importance as to seeing this. But in our, as we look at the law, all that opened the matrix is mine. I was the firstborn in the family. Now, there are a lot of other preachers that might have been secondborn, thirdborn, and whatnot. I understand that. But this is special to me because David understands now why the bus has come to pick him up at 5. Why he was saved the day before he turned 6. Why this kind of, I understand these things now. And my dad didn't quite understand it. Now, I'm thankful that when I was called to preach, that mom and dad were with, you know, they were behind me. When I wanted to go to Bible college and these kind of things, you know, they've always supported me and been proud of what we've done. And I'm thankful for that, because not a lot of parents understand. I'm not liking myself to John the Baptist or any of the characters of the Bible. If anybody, it'd be more of a doubting Thomas sometimes, or King David in his sinner days. I mean, if we all wanted to be honest with ourselves, that's who we kind of are. And anyway, point is, God uses us, firstborn. This is special to him. Those are his. We dedicate babies back to God for the ministry. God called them. God used them. I have no problem with baby dedications. What I have problem with is all the other garbage that comes along with it, whether it be a Baptist church or a Catholic church. That's, you don't get a baby wet. You cannot wash away the original sin of a baby. You can't. Water never washed away anybody's sin. Never. In the history of mankind, there's never been a time that water washed away sin. If so, in Noah's day, that flood was nothing but a big baptism. And what happened to them? They died. Water brought death. And we also know from Matthew chapter 3 that water and the baptism by immersion is an identifier with Jesus Christ. Very important thoughts there. So, do y'all understand how the Old Testament reveals and shows the New Testament? The New Testament reveals and shows the Old Testament?
Yeah.
With that, let's go to verse 20. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then thou shalt break his neck. They were to, basically, in these sacrifices and in these festivals that God set up, this Passover and unleavened and many other things, was a worship of him. I think every mom and dad ought to, whether they raise the baby up or put the baby in the preacher's arms or whatever they do, Lord God, you gave us this baby. Help us to raise this child. I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but anytime you have a child, you do not get the owner's manual. Am I right? Now, I will say this. The owner's manual that we've been given is this one. And our parents taught us what to do and what not to do in raising children. Probably more of what not to do in raising children. I am amazed at some of the things I ran into in the juvenile delinquent system with dealing with boys and girls. And the girls are the hardest ones to deal with. I went to a woman's prison once. I'll never do that again. Do you really want me to explain it to you? I think your mind can work.
Yeah, I got
it. I went one time up there, Jamie. You remember I went up to, good grief. What's the name of that town just north of Montgomery, honey? Wasn't Prattville. Maybe it was Prattville. They had a woman's prison up there, and I went in there with Mike Kelly and a couple other fellas and a couple wives. Their wives went with them, and anyway, that was just wickedness, wickedness, wickedness. And that was 1998. The juvenile, the girls in the juveniles, they little bit better situations. You don't see it as much as you do it in the adult women prisons. But dealing with girls and with these harder than dealing with the men. I'm just going to tell you now. They are. They're just much harder to deal with. Anyhow, let's go on. So you see a lot of these things. The firstling of an ass. So if you're going to give this beast a burden, This ass, by the way, our society has made the word ass a vulgar and detestable a term. There's some dumb ones, there's some smart ones, and there's some, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. But you all know what I'm saying. And even in the Spanish language, you have those terms. I didn't know, my dad used to call me a certain term, and I didn't know what it was. When I learned what it was, I said, Dad, you owe me, and you need to ask my forgiveness for calling me that. But a lot of times we do that in a derogatory fashion to show our frustration, and instead of just, okay, and going on, we like, ah, oh, you're a this, and you're a that, and well, that's just stupid. Anyhow, so in this, they were to give a lamb in that place. Do you understand that? The differences. Because the beast of burden was what it was. And he mentions, if thou redeem him not, thou shalt break his neck. Well, God was serious about this in his law. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Everybody was to bring something. Everybody. Now, I have a question for you. With that in mind, everybody was to bring a sacrifice, a tithe, and an offering. Now, I understand there's different tithes and there's different offerings, correct? And with that in mind, these offerings here, if you come with nothing in your hands, you are an outcast. In some places, stoned to death. We ought to all have something to bring. And what was it for? Worship and thankfulness for what God has done for us. Even if it's, even Lord God, thank you. Thank you. Praise your name for giving it to us. You did that. A lot of people, and I'm thankful, we're at day number 45. Today's day 45. Am I feeling it a little bit? Yeah, because it's weird. You know, there's still some healing needs going on my knee. And babe, you know what? My back and stuff, I walk through the church and stuff. It feels so much better. I mean, yesterday I saw a chiropractor for the first time. And this just man's a godly man. I learned about it through one of our homeschool families, a good godly family. And man, it was a blessing. I'm standing here right now. I have no pain, no discomfort in my glutes. For those of you who don't know what glutes are, that's your butt. Okay, glutamus minimus, medius, and maximus. Now, I have glutamus minimus, and y'all have glutamus maximus. And there's some of you with glutamus maximus between your ears. I crack myself up. Anyhow, I have no struggles today, Rachel. I have no struggles. So there's a group of muscles in your back that form a Christmas tree at the bottom going into your tailbone. And right now I'm standing. Matter of fact, look, babe, I'm even getting extended a little bit better. This is all, yesterday I had so much trouble, I couldn't really extend my back, and I'm still noticing pressure or, whereas going down, he says, man, you look how flexible you are, because I can put my palms on the ground. And no, it's not because I'm short, Brother Scott. It's just because I can. I used to be able to put my elbows on it. He said, you're flexible one way, but you're not flexible the other way. And so we're working on tailbone. He told me things about my neck. He told me things about my tailbone. He looked at it, he says, my neck area. He says, you've been in an accident, haven't you? Yeah, well, when I was 16, I was in a good one, my dad's truck. And he says, yep. He said this, you've been in an accident about 40 years ago, haven't you? How can you tell? Because of the bone structure and the way it grew and this and that. I'm like, man. This guy's got a crystal ball. And I mentioned it to him. He says, yeah, that's what it was. So all my vertebrae in my neck have got places where there was injury, and now there's regrowth and stuff. And now I notice why some of my neck is the way it is. He said, in your bodybuilding days, did you ever do rear squat? I said, only in competition, and if I was preparing for competition. Otherwise, it was a front squat because I wanted to protect myself with neck injury and from lower back. There's certain things you can do in the gym as you're working out, that you can protect certain areas, and your back and neck are super important. Anytime I lifted heavy weight, it was with perfect technique. It had to be. If you don't do a perfect technique, you tear small tissue. You ruin the spinal cord, and there's just so many other things. Thankfully, I come up with bodybuilders who had won Mr. Florida, who had won some of the major U.S. competitions. And I knew these guys, and I listened to them, and I allowed them to teach me the anatomy and the kinesiology of it. And boy, I tell you what, he did a really good job on that yesterday. And I praise the Lord for it right there in the office. Everybody else is praising the Lord for it. We had a church service yesterday. It's just what God, that's the way God does these things. It is an important that we should give back to him praises for what he has done. Verse 21, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earning or in earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. Harvest time, earing time. That's the growth time. I the old preachers back home used to talk about this earing time is when you could hear corn grow. Corn grows amazingly fast. And the old adage is you could go out and hear the corn grow. I like it. It's so quiet and peaceful out on the farmland that you can hear corn growing. That means you're not in the city. I've learned a new appreciation for Lansing only because downtown Indianapolis is crazy. I don't know what got me to do this. I've never done this in the history of driving, but I turned right when I should have only turned left because it was a one-way. So I was able to spin around and I was corrected. There was not very little traffic, so it was, you know, Lord took care of us there. I hate the big, big city. But I'm not real fond of the city of Lansing because it's got a lot of traffic. Every time I come out here to this stop sign, there's always somebody coming by. Always. It's just busy in the neighborhoods. It's busy. Everywhere you go, it's busy. And doesn't that irritate you when you're trying to get somewhere? All I want to do is go to Kroger, Miss Karis, and I want to buy this, and I want to buy that, and I want to get out and get home. No, there's got to be 25 people in line. And then the store's only going to have one or two registers. And right? Yeah, you have to go early. But I'm still waiting on a W-2 form for all these stores that I go through the self-checkout. Yeah, I should be getting pay from them. Anyhow, as we look at the law, verse 22, and thou shalt observe the feast of weeks. Oh, let me go back to verse 21. Verse 21 is the Sabbath. Remember that the Sabbath was only given to Israel. Now, I look back on some things, Brother Ray, Sister Rachel, as we've been in church for all these years. Miss Catherine, you've been around the church house. We can all remember back in the 70s when the blue laws were so strict that nothing was open but the churches. In the little town of Paris, the churches were it. There weren't restaurants open. There weren't anything open. But you know what I noticed now as I've gotten older? Death don't care what day it is. If you're hungry and you need to cook, it doesn't matter what day it is. But the Sabbath was given to Israel and only Israel and no one else. Now, I've mentioned before, I believe the principles of Sabbath are there. We ought to have a day of rest. Now, what happens to some of us, though, is we get a day of rest, and we like it so much, we take 2 days of rest. And then we like that so much, we take 3 days of rest. Then we go ahead and go to work, but we come home and finish the fourth day of rest. Hello? Here lately, Miss Jamie has been so kind to me. I haven't got the dishes done like I was, or the laundry done like I was, and I might play that court card a few more. Oh, my knee, babe, I can't do dishes. Anyhow, I won't do that. But she's been so gracious and kind. But if you live in your house, you ought to be able to change the toilet paper roll. You ought to be able to put some toilet paper out so that nobody else has to go with their drawers hanging down to their knees looking for toilet paper. Can I have any? Y'all know what I mean? Amen? Amen. Y'all ever been there? Oh, man, nobody put toilet paper in there. And I need, okay, I won't go any further. But we ought to be able to dump the trashes in our houses. Take the trash out. If you live in your house, you ought to be able to work a little bit instead of being so stinking lazy. Ought not be in our homes. And we have lazy people living. And by the way, if they're still lazy in your house, that's on you. Put a boot in their collective behind. All right?
I can't do that to my sister.
Well, I know you can't, but I can. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. Poor Sister Bincy and... I got to leave that one alone because that burns me up to know him. I deal with a lot of these men. We were in Mississippi pastoring for a couple years there, and over in 1 Kings, it talks about doing dishes. I should have had that verse out this morning. Anyway, helping mom Mom, my mom's not going to tell you, I don't need this, David, I need that. No, you just go help her with what she's doing. Because she's too stubborn, mule-headed. Any other terms I can use? You're too much like Rachel Mills. No, I'm just kidding. Anyhow. Well, you know what? If your sons live in your house, teach them how to do dishes. Teach them how to fold towels right. Teach them how to put their shoes away. I only have a couple pair out by the door now, okay? Teach them how to make their drawers with their underwear and their socks and their shirts folded properly and put away. Teach them. I get tired of teaching that time because I got to do it all the time. Yeah. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. Yeah. There's things I do now that I hated Dad showing us how to do. Would you clean up your sink after doing dishes? Do you wipe down the sink? Do you lift up the hand soap, wipe it down, wipe where it goes, and set it back down? You should. Yeah. Yeah, we had the pump ones too, so we just lifted up. Did you ever think about cleaning the bottom of your hand soap? Otherwise, you're just going to leave a ring of water there. Do it completely if you're going to do it. When you put your towel away, and we have a towel that we put outside the tub, and I make sure we fold it back over so it can dry there again and be ready for the next time. Take the shower curtains, pull them all the way back. By the way, your shower curtain won't dry right if it's folded up, and that's where you get your mildew. There are things that you ought to be doing. Be active. And I tell you, that's something you learn from the law. I'm running out of time. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, verse 22, the first fruits of wheat, harvest, and feast, and gathering at the year's end. 23, thrice in the year shall your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. That's the spiritual leaders. So just a few of the notes that I've written here, and I'll ask you to go back and read down through verse 28. But in Exodus 34 and verses 27 and 28 is really the anchor to this passage. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. First of all, Moses up here on the mountain finishes the writing of the law as God spoke it to him and gave it to him to write. Why? Because he broke the law. So now his job got harder. Because the first time we find out that God wrote them on the tables of stone for him. Nope, I don't know how big they were. I don't know how heavy they were. I know nothing about the stones. But the whole thought there was that Moses broke them. This time, because Moses' anger and frustration. And I'm going to tell you right now, people will make you angry and frustrated. And if anybody don't think so, you're an idiot. People, you yourself frustrate you. You yourself angers you. I you know, if I needed to move fast right now, I'm in trouble. Look, if there's a bear running, I'm the one that's going to get ate first. Ray will be ate first, won't he? Yeah. Play dead when you call 911. For better, for worse, in sickness and in health. I understand, Brother Ray, I feel your pain, believe me. But you know, beloved, Moses was 40 days and 40 nights fasting. Brother Tab and I have talked about this, and he's preached on it, but I never saw it this way before. There's nothing, listen, you should fast a day a week if you can. You should fast 2 and 3 days if you're able, as God leads you in fasting. Don't try a 40-day fast unless God's told you to do it. A buddy of mine tried to do that, and he got to day, I think George said he got to day 28 maybe, 27, and his health and everything. He had lost a lot of weight. But unless God leads you in that fasting, now I will tell you this, there's much in our life that comes, if we want to answer from God, fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. And look at verse 22. Now he mentions these festivals. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. So there's three feasts that are mentioned here. One, the festival of Passover and unleavened bread. What picture is that? Well, it's a picture of deliverance. We ought to praise him for being delivered. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul, August 6, 1975. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you don't remember the exact date, but you ought to thank the Lord you can remember a specific time. And by the way, you ought to be able to know there was a specific day that Jesus Christ saved your soul. If not, you're not saved. Well, I really don't know. I've asked people if they've been saved in this, and they want to give me a cockamamie answer of, well, I had an experience like this. No, that's not what I asked you. Did the Lord Jesus Christ save your soul? And do you remember that moment that he did? In the room, every one of us in here, I can take you to a specific point, and I know when Jesus Christ saved me. No doubt in my mind. That's the festival of the Passover and the Unleavened, the festival of weeks and first fruits. This shows a provision in this festival. Is that festival of the earing time. And even when food is growing out in the crops, God's still providing in the kitchen. You ever thought about that? He's providing in your life when everything's a-growing still. Hey, how about the cotton shirt you have on or the polyester shirt you got on? I don't know what you got on, but where did that cotton come from? Well, a cotton plant. But it just didn't get in the back of the truck and down to the place where they make the shirts. It has to grow. So that second festival is a festival of provision. Then there's a third festival that's mentioned. It's a festival of tabernacles and ingathering. That's the festival of harvest. That's what Thanksgiving's all about. That's why progressivism, the democratic way, that's why communism, that's why the feudal system, that's why tyranny and dictatorship never helped anybody. It isn't. It's working the fields, working a job. Are you understood? That's where this comes from. It's not sitting on your hands. It's not letting everybody else work so that you can eat. You know, that was tried at Jamestown. Or it wasn't Jamestown. It was Pilgrims. I'm trying to remember the leader. And there were some that were working and some that weren't working. But they thought they were going to go be able to pick out of the food. You know what? It's very true. You don't work, you don't eat. It's the way it should be. You earn your meal. That's what I learned on the farm. You earn your meal. Boy, that's a thought in America we don't want to have, isn't it? And I told you about going some groups going to Katrina victims from New Orleans, for example, they had taken them over to Houston, and how many groups had gone to hand out water and hand out MREs and hand out little sandwiches. Well, where's my McDonald's? Where's my Wendy's? Thinking that they ought to be, you know what? I can't do those kind of ministries. Rescue Mission is a great ministry until they've gone south, not only with their version, but their acceptance of this debauchery known as transgenderism. But these rescue missions that are doing it right, I don't mind going down and serving a meal and being a help. That might be the only Christian, true Bible-believing Christian, they get to see that day. We went in the juvies and the prisons. Listen, you might be the only man or woman that loves the Lord, is following at the Bible, that those kids get to see. And you just don't do it once in a while. And you just don't set out. You go faithfully. That way you can help an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 14-year-old girl that I've spoke to you about. In 2002, my daughter was the same age and she had just had a child, praying that her parents could get custody and adopt her little girl. 14-year-old girl. We ought to be thankful for the harvest that God's given us. Now, on verse 21, I just made mention again, and I say it again, the Sabbath day of verse 21 is only for Israel. So I want to finish Sunday school this morning with this. These festivals and laws have been written many times for Israel. This is not the first time we're seeing this in the book of Exodus. What does that mean? Well, God's serious about it. The law is not needed for salvation, but the law is needed to show you and I as sinners needing salvation. The book of Galatians is very evident in that, how it's a schoolmaster about chapter 4, verse chapter 5. The festivals and laws have been written many times. Christian, what do we do with them? The principles are there. Like, for example, the festival of Passover, deliverance, the day of Pentecost. What was that? Provision. Every time we meet together is a harvest from the Word of God. It's bread, fresh bread. It's fresh food. It's fresh meat. You understand this Bible's a living book? It doesn't change, but it changes me. So with that, I make this last statement. I'll be done. God is making an emphatic, writing in bold, the law for our admonition. God's law is a big deal. But we don't see it as that. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I mean, we see society telling men they can wear women's clothing and women can wear men's clothing. Right? Hey, a man who's washed up and is not an athlete can go into a girl's swim meet and win. What a debauchery. That's not righteous. If my wife and I had to do a could you imagine? And I'll finish with this. We're going to a powerlifting contest. And the winner of it wins $10 million. So this one contestant, Jamie Lynn Conrad Garver. And then there's this other massive, handsome, muscular man, David Michael Garver. And they, in order to win this $10 million competition, they have to bench press. All I got to do is the bar. That's 45 pounds. Because Miss Jamie's going to struggle getting it off the rack. But that's what we're dealing with today. We are dealing with such stupidity, such foolishness, such godlessness. And you know why? They decided to put God's law away. Again, you don't need God's law for salvation. But I can tell you now, you need God's law for living. Does it keep you saved? No, Jesus Christ does that. And every day you break the law. If you offend one part of the law, you offend the whole law. That's right, if you tell a lie, you're a murderer. Yeah, exactly. When you offend one part of the law, you offend the whole law. When you've gotten mad at somebody and upset, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. I used that verse yesterday in the chiropractic office. Everybody just jumped up. The Word of God has power. Love you, brother. Love you, sister. God bless you. Y'all have a good day. And I had that sheepish look on me. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. I tell you, friends, I don't think we understand that the law is a big deal to God. And it ought to be a big deal to us. Father, help us today and thank you for your word. I pray that you'd work the word into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.